saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
We are live and direct from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're inside the MGM Grand Media Center. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. It is a special edition of Inside Boxing Live. Doesn't get any more live than this, folks. It's Canelo Munguia Fight Week. Things are heating up. This building, or this room, I should say, is starting to fill up. The food is right next to us. It looks really good. I'm really hungry. So is Chris.
He
needs protein. Chris, how are you, my friend? Good to see you in the flesh.
I'm great, man. Happy to be here. Canelo Fight Week. Once again, I think there's a lot of positive energy going on. People are starting to get ramped up. I mean, Vegas is swelling with the Mexican fans, with boxing fans. So
swelling, in
swelling
ways,
like this guy. Except more, he skipped the gym this morning.
I did not go to the gym with Chris this morning.
You know, I got it.
What time did you go?
About 11.
I think I was editing. You know, trying to get our empire.
Yeah, I mean, you were doing work. I was doing work. It's just different kind of work.
Different kind of work. You're the talent. You come in, you sit down, you say hello to everyone, you do some interviews. I'm setting up. We got Mitch, or Pedro, I should say, behind the camera, doing this one wonderful thing. As you know, this live stream is brought to you by PPV.com. Order the fight on PPV.com. Join us in the live interactive chat. There's no other interface, and there's no other entity that has a live interactive chat. I'll be in the chat. Chris will be in the chat. Jim Lampley, Lance Pugmire. No subscriptions. You can stream it to your phone, tablet, big screen TV. It's going to be a great night of fights. Canelo Alvarez is charged up after what we saw at the press conference yesterday. He's not fighting Oscar De La Hoya, but he's fighting Oscar De La Hoya's fighter in Jaime Munguia. So order the fight with PPV.com. Thank you to PPV.com for sending us here to Las Vegas, giving away a shit ton of pay-per-views week long.
So
we're also
cool
giving away a signed Canelo glove. If you order the pay-per-view before tonight at midnight, you automatically enter into a sweepstakes to win a signed Canelo glove. We'll give you some incentive to order early. Order with us at PPV.com. Potentially win a Canelo signed glove.
I literally want to be in that running. Like, I want to win. That's a very cool thing.
We luckily get the pay-per-views for free through PPV. So
yeah, but I want to win the glove. I want the signed glove.
I could pull. If you end up winning, that's kind of like that. That would be great for our fans out there. You've met him. You sparred with him.
It's true. That's true.
We were talking to him yesterday. He seems.
I was going to use it as a gift anyway. So.
Gift it to someone?
Yeah.
Okay.
A good gift.
All right, so there's a lot going on in the... Let's get to some of the comments. There's a lot. I hope you're unbiased on this one. When are we ever not unbiased?
Okay.
Dan lied. Oh, Dan Rayfield, not me. Dan Rayfield is the one who broke the news about Ryan. We're going to talk about Ryan Garcia. We're going to talk about Canelo.
That press conference yesterday was wild. That was
Sean Zatel.
I love it.
Boxing Live and Showbiz, my go-to boxing channels. Okay, I like those guys. That's cool.
Nice.
Boys, how's it going? IBL boots on the ground. Massimo, we're always boots on the ground, bro. We're at every big fight.
Yep.
Everyone take back what they said about Haney after the fight. You're talking about PEDs. Okay, we'll get into that.
It's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of that.
So we're
comments.
Here at the Canelo Munguia fight week, and an absolute bombshell breaks yesterday. Dan Rayfield reporting.
This kid can't stay out of the news.
Ryan Garcia test positive for 2 PEDs, the main one, Osterine. Mm-hmm. He tested positive the day before the fight, and he tested positive the day after the fight with Devin Haney. It's a very serious drug. Mm-hmm. Garcia has 10 days to request that his B sample be tested. Garcia's A sample also screened positive for, what's that word, Chris?
That is the norandasterone.
So 2 PEDs.
And that's a metabolite of Norgelone, which is a DECA.
Okay.
Which is a bodybuilding,
Chris,
steroid, anabolic.
You specialize in a lot of things. You mm-hmm. are our resident ex-champion. You are our resident fighter. You are our resident Florida man. But you're also our resident...
alligator wrestler.
Expert on PEDs. Not because you ever did PEDs.
Right.
Because you have a degree in sports science. And is that right?
I was pre-med, and then I worked in a lab, in a chemistry lab, for a number of years getting ready for that. And then I have a master's degree in clinical nutrition. So a lot of this stuff. And also, I just grew up with a lot of bodybuilders, so I know about PEDs and
you grew up on Long Island.
Yeah, exactly.
I know a lot of guys that were doing steroids in the parking lot of Neptune Beach.
I still do know a lot of those guys, actually.
So I want to get your thoughts. Like, a lot of people are asking you for your thoughts. You're very educated on this topic. Tell us what Osterine is and what it does.
Okay, osterine is a SARM, which is a selective androgen receptor modulator. So think about that as it's selective, right? If we break down the name, selective androgen are like your receptors for those are going to be on your muscles and your bones. That's why they're selective. It's not just like taking like an anabolic where literally it's just like a testosterone bomb in your body and affects everything, affects your organs, affects your body's ability to make its own testosterone. SARMs aren't like that. They're selective, meaning they target specific androgen receptors on muscles and bones. So they're great for athletes. And they have very few side effects because they are selecting exactly the things that you want as an athlete. Bones get denser, tendon strength improves, muscles get stronger, endurance, you cut more fat. It's also anti-catabolic, meaning that while you're cutting weight, like if you're in a caloric deficit, like when you're making weight, a lot of times you lose a lot of muscle. Not when you're on Osterine. When you're on Osterine, you maintain your muscle mass, you're still getting leaner. Even in a caloric deficit, it maintains that muscle size and strength, which is wild. It was actually developed in order for cancer patients, people that are wasting syndrome. So like when you have cancer, a lot of times it pulls a lot of nutrition out of your body, you can't eat enough, your metabolic needs go way up. So Osterine was helping people maintain their lean tissue while they were sick. Obviously there's some benefits for athletes. We've seen it from every level. You see it from the gym bro at Neptune's, and you see it all the way to Olympic champions. People who have hopped for Osterine for years. Very, very dangerous drug because you can't really, it's hard to tell where, it's has a short half-life, gets out of your system very quickly. So it's basically a designer drug for sports.
It's a really serious drug.
Absolutely. Like I said, it does improve your strength a little bit. That's not really what it's most for. It's maintaining muscle mass while you're in a caloric deficit. It's going to harden your bones and strengthen your tendons. So it's a minor strength improvement. But man, making your bones harder for punching, that's a big deal. Making your tendons stronger for, you know, prevent injuries, also for recovery, it's a big deal.
Number one, it's a very serious drug. Thank you for educating everyone out there on it. Number two, what does this mean for Ryan Garcia in this win?
Well, we need to get more details because we got to see how much was in his system. So if it's very, very small amounts, if it was a very, very fine test that is picking up like nanograms and picograms, like very, very small amounts, then you could say, okay, it could have been a contamination of a supplement. It could have been a spiked supplement.
Well, he's saying right here, my levels are so low for someone who took Osterine. I was posting throughout the training of my test came out positive. All of a sudden, I'm positive. According to Ryan Garcia's mom, you have to take this with a grain of salt, she posted all the VADA drug tests from February 24th when Ryan joined VADA. February 26th, he tested negative. March 15th, he tested negative. March 8th, he tested negative. April 3rd, he tested negative. So the fight was on April 20th. So set between April 3rd and April 20th, when there was the failed drug test, or April 19th, and then April 21st, which is when he failed the other one, there were 2 weeks where he either started doing Osterine, or there were 2 weeks where
he got a tainted supplement.
He did a supplement. That's what he showed on Instagram. Also, take that with a grain of salt, too. This is all allegedly, by the way. Let's preface this by saying this is all allegedly. A lot of tests still have to come out.
Right. We need a lot more details.
Right. He held up that some type of supplement, and he goes, oh, I guess
it's ashwagandha. It's an herb.
Right.
It's
I guess this is it. He's saying a lot of things. He's throwing out. He's pretty much doing the Trump playbook, where he's throwing out a lot of misinformation, he's throwing out a lot of information. They're flooding Instagram, they're flooding Twitter with all this information to kind of show you, like, you know what, I'm innocent, I didn't do it. Golden Boy put out a statement saying, listen, we're backing Ryan 100%. He said, I've never knowingly took PEDs. So we're gonna wait now. We're gonna wait and see how much.
To your question, Dan, what happens next? So, yeah, he might not have willingly known, but guess what? It's still in your system. So if it's in your system, it's your fault.
Doesn't matter.
You're responsible for what goes into your body as an athlete if you're going to be in VADA. And you know, there should be different repercussions whether you are doing it on purpose or you made an accidental ingestion because of naivety based on your not knowing what you're taking, which is, again, falls on you. So it's going to depend on the amounts, the trace amounts that are in there. But also, you know, when he's saying that, he had low amounts. I mean, it has a very short half-life. It stays in your system for, you know, a very short period of time, a couple weeks. So, you know, even though it breaks down, like, it's highly bioavailable, but it breaks down pretty quick. The other one, though.
Yeah, tell us about the other drug.
Yeah, so nandrolone, the DECA, that's like a hardcore anabolic for bodybuilders. And it stays in your system a long time, like months.
Why are we overlooking this one?
That one's because I'm going to assume was a tainted supplement. Because it's probably a really small amount. We haven't gotten details on that one either. But that one makes no sense for the sport. Like taking that one, it's a bulking agent. It's an anabolic. It like there's a lot of side effects. Like,
get some of that.
Yeah, you need that. But there's a lot of side effects on that one too. And it's just not really a fighter drug. Ostarine makes sense for a fighter. The DECA doesn't, especially if you're going to be tested. I mean that would be a very very stupid thing to take prior to a fight.
All right, so we got what the drug was, what it does. It's obviously a very dangerous drug. This is all allegedly.
All pads are dangerous in this sport.
Got the Golden Boy people here too, right? Allegedly.
Yes.
Okay, but
yeah, we need more details.
What does this mean for the win of Ryan Garcia? You take a look at the lead up to this fight was wacky. It was nuts. It ended up being a great night. It ended up being a upset. I think it was the shot in the arm that boxing needed, with Ryan Garcia pulling off the massive upset of Devin Haney, knocking him down three times, stunning him. All that and the other. The week after it, I'm listening to WFAN in New York radio station that never talks about boxing.
Yep.
And my man Greg Giannotti, is morning host with Boomer, is saying, awesome fight Saturday night. Ryan Garcia pulls off the upset. It did great ratings. It did great numbers. This is great. This is finally what you want to hear, because usually we hear about all the negative things when they're talking about boxing, especially on a morning radio show. So now we wake up and we have to deal with positive drug test. It's on ESPN. It's on TMZ. Ryan Garcia now is one of the four or five faces of boxing. And now we're answering questions about these designer drugs that we don't know the names of and how to pronounce. And what does this exactly mean for his win? Devin Haney wants the win expunged. He wants it to be a no contest. He can't believe it. He puts out a statement. This is not good. This is not good.
Boxing never misses an opportunity to give itself a black eye. That's the reality of it. It's unfortunate. What's that saying? Like, boxing is the worst mistress of my life. Like, it's just we love it, but it's damaging. It's damaging to us. It breaks your heart all the time. It's a hard luck sport, man. And again, it doesn't miss an opportunity to give itself black eyes. And we're there once again. This kid had the opportunity to be literally the face of the sport and to take over. And now we got to deal with all this. So it's a complicated situation.
What's going to happen with him? It's like New York State is very strict. I mean, this is the strictest commission
true.
You could possibly have among all the states in the U.S. They can come down hard on him. I know that he was, or they were looking
the WBC,
to have
the fight. WBC, I think, it wants to come down hard too.
WBC sanctioned the fight, right, with Ryan. I mean, the title
wasn't
on the line.
They're big with Bada.
Title wasn't on the line, but WBC was involved with this fight with Devin Haney. You got to start thinking about that. Like, obviously in boxing, a lot of these fighters test positive, or there's murky waters, and they wait out. There's a lot of misinformation thrown out there. The Conor Benn situation comes to mind, where it's just litigation until you're either just don't want to hear about it anymore, or you're just so tired of it that you just move on, or you just forget about it. This is not going to happen with Ryan Garcia because he's such a big name. Like, this, I don't think this is going to get swept under the rug. I just need to see how it plays out. We have to see what the levels.
We got to get more details. We got to get the levels. We got to see if this is accidental or if it was known, and that makes a big difference. You know, listen. Regardless, objectively, the stuff is in your system. So you failed the test. We got to wait for the B sample. But historically, the B sample usually is exactly the same as the A sample.
Say wait for the B sample. And has there ever been a time where the B sample?
That's why I said historically. I think historically, I don't think it's ever been a difference.
Right.
So that's not really going to be an issue. But the amount is going to be an issue, and that's why. We got to dig and get more details. And then from there, that's how you decide how you're going to deal with it. Is it going to be a 6-month ban, or is it going to be a 4-year ban? Because Ostarine, I believe, is actually
I've never seen a 4-year ban.
Ostarine, I'm sorry. I think it's a 2-year ban.
In
the UFC sport? From Jeff Nowitzki. That's a 2-year ban for Ostarine.
2-year ban?
2-year ban, yeah.
And is it go by level?
And it just goes on whether you did it on purpose or not.
How do they prove that?
Levels.
All right, let's take some questions from our viewers. There's a lot of them. From Rudy, how long would it take for the PED to really take effect since Ryan tested clean until the day before and after the fight? Well, he didn't test clean before the fight. I mean, April 3rd, he tested clean. But you have an answer for that?
Yeah, well, if you're going to be using it to maintain muscle mass while you're making weight and caloric deficit and helping to burn body fat, so it would help pretty much immediately in that case. If you're using it to maintain you know, your strength while you're cutting, then yeah, that would be beneficial. In terms of like your tendon and bone strength, it would take longer for that, obviously. But you got to be careful with these kind of drugs because of their short half-life and the way they you can go in and out of your system. It's all about timing. And I don't know, you know, if Ryan has a chemist on staff who's going to be able to do that kind of stuff, but there's a lot of answers.
A lot of money.
We have more questions than anything now.
Right. Let's go on to Jace B. Why does the second drug need to be tested again? Do you mean the anabolic?
The DECA, the nandrolone. I don't know. I didn't get a lot of details on that one. They said it might have been. So is it confirmed that one was also there?
I was in the ESPN report. Tested positive for that second one.
Okay.
Where is it? Yeah.
So again, you got to be careful with these tests because how fine of a test, how fine of a detail are they looking at? Are we looking at, you know, you got to look at how much. Like if it's a really, really fine, if you have like super, super small amounts in your body, it might fall under some tests. If you have like, you know, like, I don't know, say like 50 picograms under, you know, like it's not going to show up. So, but tests are getting better. So maybe they're getting tests that are looking at really, really low amounts, and then you're popping. And sometimes that pop is a false negative.
Another question here. This room is filling. Dude, they're putting out a spread right here. It looks like it's guacamole.
Guys, we got full-on Cinco de Mayo, like delicious Mexican food.
So right hungry by right now. Starving. This guy's putting so much on his plate. What's the etiquette here?
Don't save any for Chris
that
and
Dan. That plate's about to fall over.
Yeah, that's the etiquette. Don't save any for Chris and Dan.
Yeah, the room is starting to really fill up. There's a definite buzz because it's Canelo fight week. A definite buzz because boxing's on a heater right now.
On a heater?
Heater in and out of the ring. I mean, this Ryan Garcia news is obviously not good news, but it's still stuff we have to talk about. The Oscar and Canelo beef was insane. We'll get to that, too. We got a few more
That was
questions.
Exciting as hell, by the way. I was having a blast watching that. The drama. I love the drama.
Drama through the roof. Ryan getting popped was the last thing Oscar needed after bringing up Canelo's positive test. Dude, that was
timing.
A slice of irony yesterday is that Oscar goes up on the stage yesterday and says all these things about Canelo. Brings up failed drug test. Brings up...
he brought up a lot of stuff about himself, too. Like, he did that, like, scorched earth, like, all right, I'm going to lay all my stuff out there so you have no ammo.
I did this. Yep. I understand that, but what about you? What about you failing two drug tests? Mm-hmm. What about you doing this, that, and the other? As his star fighter tests positive for PEDs.
Almost simultaneously. Wild.
Oh, this sport, I'm telling you, is the weirdest and wildest sport in the world. Yesterday,
it's the best sport.
So we got Mitch here, who is our producer, editor extraordinaire. He's new to the boxing game. And Oscar comes up to the stage, and I'm like, yo, this could get really crazy. And he's like, oh, why? I'm like, oh, you're about to see. This guy, they used to work together. There's a little bit of like jealousy between Oscar and Canelo, not the other way around. This could get really, really crazy. I didn't think it was going to go that crazy because Oscar came out guns a-blazing, had like a prepared statement.
No, he tweeted and said, like, I'm going to go at Canelo at the press conference. And he certainly did. Like you said, he had a written statement ready. He was like delivering a speech.
Yeah, and in that speech, he went scorched earth. Yep. Like, and the room got like awkwardly silent and was like, oh, when he said that one thing. And then Canelo went at him in Spanish.
Yeah, he got
called
mad.
Him a lot of derogatory terms. Yeah. Brought up some of the stuff about Oscar in the past. The fishnets and everything you could think of. He went after Canelo, drug use and all that. He went after Oscar. I mean, I'm not going to say that the promotion needed it because I don't think it should ever get to that level. Was it welcomed? Was it picked up by every single media entity? Do we have 3 million views on that video on our TikTok? Yes. Oscar knows how to promote a fight. Oscar knows how to interject himself.
Yep.
Oscar knows how to create buzz. Canelo and Munguia are shaking hands every chance they get. It's extremely respectful. I'm going to say, yeah, it did need it. And yeah, I'm a little more interested.
I wouldn't say it needed it, but it definitely helped.
It definitely helped.
All news is good news at this point, you know, especially for us being on this side and working in the media. It gives us plenty to talk about. We have too much to talk about. We got to do like two shows a day.
I guess we're going to have to go live tomorrow, too. Chris,
you guys asked for it.
Look at this question. Be honest, Chris. Did you ever take PEDs or Swarm in your career?
Never. Not once. Not once. I actually just posted that the other day. I'm 40 years old. I actually wanted to go on TRT, and then I got my test results and checked, and it was fine. So I'm like, I don't need it yet. I will eventually.
I want to do tests.
Yeah, you should.
Give me some tests.
You should get your levels checked first, though. But I did an Instagram post. I had a photo shoot. I got is, you know, pretty lean in a couple days, and I was like, man, I've never done anything. Never did any kind of hormone modulators, never did any exogenous hormones. I couldn't do it. Ethically, I couldn't do it because the sport's so dangerous. But also, I just felt like I didn't need it. You know, that's why I was so focused on my nutrition and and my training, and I worked so hard. And just doing everything right. You know, that's what the champion lifestyle is all about. It's just, you know, doing everything right.
Yeah, that's the thing. When we did that episode like a while back. It was one of our biggest episodes, was after the Conor Benn stuff. And you kind of pulled back the curtain on what fighters are taking, how they're beating the test. And a lot of the comments were, wow, this is informative, this was awesome.
How the fuck does he know that?
And there were some idiots out there that were like, wait a second, like, he seems to know a little too much about it. That sounds like someone that knows so much about it, probably did PEDs, but no, like, once people understand your background.
And again, what guys, you did, pre-med in college, master's degree in clinical nutrition, have worked in the nutrition space for a long time. I'm a certified sports nutritionist, so we talk about PEDs a lot, drug use and how they work, the pharmacology of it, the pharmacokinetics of it, how they actually work, what they do in the body. And it's very interesting. I'm very interested. It's chemistry. It's cool.
What else we got here?
Wow, that was nerdy, huh? It's chemistry. It's cool.
Chemistry. It's cool. You're a man of many talents. What are the odds a test can be tampered with to come back positive?
What? Almost zero. Vada doesn't have a horse in the fight, so it wouldn't make sense for him.
I was with Dan Riffio last night, who broke the story. We went out to dinner with PPV people.
Nice.
And he is showing me the DMs he's getting. Showing me all the DMs he's getting from the Ryan Garcia fans.
Oh, the Swifties?
Well, the Ryan Garcia
fans. Dude, they're rough.
The Ryan Garcia fans were like, you made this up. You're a piece of shit. This, that, and the other. Like, how dare you do this to Ryan?
The most ill-informed fan base I've ever experienced.
Right. There's a lot of that, but, you know, credit to Ryan. I mean, he knows how to, you know, activate his base. He knows how to kind of shoot this down.
It's the Swift. That's why I call them the Swifties, because, like, the Taylor Swift cronies are, like, nasty. Like, they're, like, ravenous when they protect her and they go after people. So it's very, very similar.
Yeah, it is kind of similar in a way. But, yeah, I guess we could talk about that. And, like, it's just, like, not a good look. It's just not a good look. I was very, very prepared to talk about Ryan Garcia fighting in December. I was ready to talk about Ryan Garcia. You know, what could he do at 147? Could he fight at 154? You know, our last podcast was discussing all the options for him. We were talking about his victory tour in Miami, and it was all good.
All good.
And it was fun. It was different. It was like, all right, shot in the arm, like I said before. Like, let's get this totally invigorated his career. Because if you think about it, Chris, he was a loss away from probably not being seen for a long time.
No, he was a loss away from being a YouTube fighter. Like, it was that close. And then he goes to the top of the sport. Like, that is the dramatic swings that you can make in this sport and no other sport. Boxing really is the theater of the unexpected. Anything can happen. And people only care about your last performance. And Ryan's last performance was great.
Bruce Wayne, Batman.
Nice.
With so many boxing people around, who do you guys hang out with during fight week? Here's the thing. All the boxing media is a bunch of weirdos.
The media.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
To my right is Morning Combat guys, Brian Campbell, Luke Thomas. I will hang out with them.
They're cool.
Tonight we're going out to Barry's Prime.
Oh, I don't tell everybody. Damn it.
We just got done. No, I don't think anyone can get in. It's a very hard place to get into.
Fair.
Our friend Jason Griggs, West Virginia legend, a friend of mine.
You're the man, Griggs.
Is taking us there, so we're doing that tonight. There's certain media members that I'll hang out with.
I lived here for a while, so I have friends. I have friends in Vegas. I lived and trained here a lot. I mean, I've been coming here multiple times a year for the past decade and a half, so there's a lot to do in Vegas, other than I don't gamble. I don't go to strip clubs.
I don't gamble.
So
I don't go to strip clubs either. But the thing with what we do all week long is, like, we run around at these scrums. We talk to Canelo, get the mini mic content. And then me and Mitch are editing, like, all hours of the night. Yep. So it's not like a luxurious trip. Like, someone's like, hey, what are these trips like? It's literally editing in hotel rooms. It's literally editing in media centers. It's literally, like, working all day and night.
But
and
it's
flying
fun.
Home.
It's fun. Our job is fun. What we do is fun. We have fun doing this. We love boxing. We're obsessed. So it is still fun. But, yeah, it's a ton of work. And it's exhausting these weeks, these trips.
But it's Serbi working for a living.
I've never had a job, so I really don't know. Maybe working is okay. I don't know.
I had a few jobs before I got into sports. I worked for a moving company. Imagine me doing that.
No.
In the Hamptons, I worked at a pool cleaning company.
Dude, if you showed up to help me move, I'd be like, no, send that guy home.
They wanted to, and I think they did send me home a few times. Pool cleaning company. I worked Tanger Outlets.
So you were the hot young pool guy?
Yes, there were a lot of older women in the Hamptons that
would open up their... You want some lemonade?
Or
come
would
on,
come
Dan.
Out and lay out, like conveniently when we showed up.
I can't reach my shoulder. Can you put on some...
Yeah. Dude, I'm not even kidding. I'm not going to get into specifics here.
I want the address. I want the home address.
Literally, that scenario happened a few times.
I didn't say it out of nowhere.
Me and my buddy, we're in the pool truck. It was my friend from high school. It was summer of 2010. And we go to these houses in the Hamptons. And the pools were, immaculately clean all the time. So we didn't even have to clean them. And there'd be times where the moms would come outside. And they'd flirt with us. And they'd talk to us. Or they'd be like, oh, my daughters are having a party tonight. You guys should come back to Dune Road Mansions. And we're just, laughing our asses off. Because this is, right out of a porno, literally.
So did you go?
We don't have to answer that. I mean... Statute of limitations have passed. This is 2010, literally 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Is it confirmed? Yes, confirmed. I did go to those parties.
Confirmed.
What do we got here? Christian Mandohano, were you a mover and weren't on roids? I did help. I was a mover and I was never on roids.
Damn.
Shout out Long Island moms. Yeah. The way Haney looked, Freddie Mercury with late stage AIDS would have dropped him. Okay.
Yikes.
That's a little weird. Chris, who do you think won the Stuttering John versus Cabbie fight? What's that?
Is that a Stern thing?
I don't know.
I think that was a Stern thing for back in the day.
I love these questions, though. Fan bases.
Or maybe that was Opie and Anthony. I don't know. It's one of those.
I don't know about that. All right, so we get into why we're here? Should we get into Canelo versus Munguia?
Oh, yeah. We should probably do it.
Ryan Garcia taking over the headlines once again. So we are here for Canelo Alvarez fighting Jaime Munguia. Munguia just walked through here looking
looks big,
big.
Looks strong,
what do you
looks
think
healthy.
He's walking around there, 180? 175?
I mean, he's still got some weight to cut for sure, so he's definitely up there. But he looks good, man. He looks strong.
He doesn't look drawn in. Yeah. He doesn't look upset.
He doesn't look worried at all.
I interviewed him yesterday, and he was fine. He wasn't when you talk to a fighter.
It's good to be young, man. I remember that. I remember those days.
27 years old. Canelo hasn't fought a guy that age in quite a while. Has a reach advantage over Canelo. But when it comes to skills, when it comes to high-level experience, that edges to the side of Canelo. I'm excited for this fight. I'm really excited for this fight. We're getting closer and closer to it. I understand it's not David Benavidez. David Benavidez will be here.
We're over that. I mean, we're not over that, but we'll return to that after this weekend.
Benavidez and Tank are on their way to Vegas. On Saturday morning, they're announcing their June 15th doubleheader,
awesome,
which you can stream live on PPV.com.
It's going to be a huge
event. I'm excited. Canelo Munguia, I think it's going to be a really fun fight. The thing that excites me the most is that Munguia is young. He's exuberant. He is
big,
fearless,
strong,
throws a lot of punches, pushes the pace. So let's see Canelo pushed. Let's see exactly what Canelo has left at age 32, 33 with a ton of mileage on him.
Yeah, I think Jaime Munguia is going to be able to push Canelo to places we haven't seen in a long time. I really do. I think that, I don't know if he's going to beat Canelo. Most likely he's not going to beat Canelo. Canelo is a big favorite here in the Vegas odds. Not a huge favorite, but he's pretty sizable. Most likely Canelo is going to win the fight. But I do believe that Jaime Munguia has enough of those assets that you just mentioned that he can push Canelo to a place that maybe we might see a slice of the vintage Canelo where he has to really step it up and put some hurt on Munguia and follow up and try and go for a knockout. So very much so looking forward to this fight. Just like you said, Dan, I'm excited for this one.
That's going to be the storyline, I feel like, for every Canelo fight from now until he retires. It's going to be, what exactly does Canelo have left? Is he going to get old overnight? Is he going to fall off a cliff? And we're going to keep answering that. We're going to keep seeing that. The Charlo fight, to me, answered some questions, but it didn't answer all of them. To me, it answered that Canelo's still hungry.
Yes.
It answered that Canelo's healthy.
Yes.
Like, he didn't have any neck issues.
And the wrist was bad.
Wrist issues. He's very far removed from that surgery and whatever he had, procedure he had.
Scored a nice knockdown against a guy who was unwilling to trade.
Right. So there were some answers for me in that Charlo fight. But also, Charlo just didn't put up any resistance. And
it's really hard to look good against guys like that. It's really hard to knock those guys out, too.
No, that was something you said in the last show. Dan, Charlo's a 154-pounder.
Right.
Munguia is a big dude.
Munguia is basically a light heavyweight.
First time or seeing him in person, he's a big dude. Canelo's in there with – he's in tough. I know everyone's all right, who did Munguia fight? What's his resume? If you just go by the physical skills, we haven't seen Canelo in the ring with someone like that since maybe Bivol. In terms of physical skills, not talent.
I think he might be bigger than Bivol, honestly. Because Bivol says that he can make 168, and Jaime, you know, is he looks all of 175 pounder. Like he looks like a light heavyweight. So yeah, and it's funny, you know, when we did our head to head comparison, power,
yeah,
Canelo, speed, Canelo, chin, defense, Canelo, boxing IQ, Canelo. But guess what? Jaime can still win. It's, like that's how crazy it is.
It's like a 10-9 round where someone has to win the round, mm-hmm, but it could have been a close round.
Right.
So when we're doing those comparisons, it's like, yeah, Canelo has the power, but Munguia can put together a 3-4 punch combination where Canelo doesn't really exactly throw those combinations anymore that are powerful, but Canelo has the power edge. Speed. You think Canelo, you know, has that speed, but Munguia has shown unbelievable speed with his combinations. Defense obviously goes to Canelo. Chin. Canelo has arguably top three best chin in boxing.
Yeah, if not the best. I mean, it's great. Him and Triple G fought. It was like two ironclad chins against each other. And both
highlights.
Guys punch hard. Again, they couldn't hurt each other. Amazing.
I still watch those highlights of Canelo Golovkin. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. Like, we're getting further and further away from that fight, and it's getting away from the controversial scorecards. And we're starting to just appreciate what was
just enjoy
a badass
the
fight.
The beautiful brutality.
Bro,
that those
first
fights
fight
were
was sick.
So was the second fight. First and second fight.
Both of them, 24 rounds that I hope are remembered in terms of like one of the best middleweight fights ever.
Yeah, for the quality, not for the
Adelaide
result.
Bird, 118, 110.
Like, crazy.
That's just boxing. Like, we still argue over Hagler Hearns.
Yeah.
We still argue over, not Hagler Hearns.
Leonard Hearns.
Yeah. We still argue over that, and that's almost 40 years ago. So that's part of boxing. I understand that. Damn, Canelo's been in some fights, man. What is it, 33 years old.
33, but he's got a lot of mileage on those 33 years.
That's another
aspect. A lot of mileage.
Another aspect of this fight is the experience. Canelo's been on this stage going on 10-plus years now. Floyd Mayweather 11 years ago.
Yeah, and the amount of champions that he's fought, it's wild.
Bro, he fought Mayweather 10 years ago. And think about what you have to do.
He was 23 years old.
Think about what you have to do in the lead up to get a Mayweather fight.
Right.
You got to beat a Trout. You got to beat a Lara. You got to.
Very difficult stylistic guys to fight.
Put up a whole career, basically, to get to that Mayweather fight, which is the pinnacle. And then 10 plus years of being on top, fighting in Vegas, doing these big fights. Jim Lampley's here. And doing all these big fights. And it's wild. And now he has the experience for sure. But Munguia does not have the big fight experience.
No.
Munguia's biggest fight was maybe Derevyanchenko?
Derevyanchenko, I mean, there was a lot on the line the last fight, so there was a ton of pressure when he fought John Ryder. So, he does know. You can't compare resumes at this point. But, you know, this came up during the week when people asked me about this fight. Do you think the moment is going to be too big for Munguia? I don't think so. I think that he comes from a warrior class. He's come from Mexican culture. And he said in an interview yesterday, I believe, that I've been training my whole life for this fight, to fight Canelo. And he's a guy that he thoroughly respects. He watched his whole career. And now he's here. He's got that opportunity. It's when your hero becomes your foe. So it's an opportunity for Munguia to get incredible experience, to bridge that gap of, you know, that experience that he doesn't have.
Right.
And he gets to put his skills on the line. And I think, again, like I said, a warrior class of Mexican culture. This is what these guys live for.
It's going to be such a raucous crowd. No offense to the Tim Zhu, Sebastian Fundora atmosphere. That was a great card. Ended up being an awesome card.
Yeah.
But it was a little lacking in atmosphere because those are not exactly big names. This right here, this room, if you can see the other side of this, is full to capacity. I'm seeing luminaries of all media, all different walks of media. This feels like a Canelo fight. It feels like a Cinco de Mayo big time thing.
Yeah.
And I also think the weigh-in is going to be a freaking scene.
Oh, no, that's
the weigh-in's going to be a
scene. It's going to be wild.
Guys, we're live.
That's Chris Alfieri.
We're live right now. Fred Sternberg chewing my ear off.
Eagles cover of the...
We got Jim Lampley here to our left.
What beach was that?
That was in LA. I'm Chris Algieri. There's Jim.
There he is. There he is. The legend.
Having a Diet Coke.
Two legends. And Fred Sternberg.
Look at that.
Two legends.
Can you turn it around to show everyone over there?
Oh, yeah. Can you show what we're dealing with in here? Star-studded event.
Yeah. There's everyone.
Fleshing out.
There's Claudia Trejos. Unbelievable.
Yeah, this is
outfit.
Actually great. This is great stuff. No one ever knows what a media center looks like.
I did a behind-the-scenes video once. That's right there. You're seeing some of the zone people. There's the stage. This is inside the MGM Grand. It's awesome because you have internet in here, you have food, you have TVs, you can edit, you can interview people. It's just pretty much like a radio row. Like Super Bowl has their radio row. Canelo fights bring out a radio row. where you can just kind of sit here, and then they'll bring over people, like, to you. Like, all of a sudden, you're sitting down with Freddie Roach. All of a sudden, Jim Lampley. All of a sudden, Jaime Munguia will walk through. It's one of the cooler rooms and cooler aspects of Fight Week. I love it. I love being live. I think this is such a cool thing, being able to bring you guys inside of these rooms and just come to you live and direct. We're getting good feedback on it. I hope everyone's enjoying it. Massimo, Jim, the voice of boxing.
We always say our listeners are some of the smartest in the sport of boxing. I mean, the stuff that you guys send us messages about, like, it's just so spot on.
Yeah, a lot of Jim Lampley fans in the chat. Ryan Garcia is a cheater, says H Money. Let's see here, another question. How much of a factor will Jaime's reach play in the fights? Aside from Triple G, most of Canelo's recent opponents have had long reach of the two. That's true. Munguia has a 4-inch reach advantage over Canelo Alvarez.
And a 4-inch height advantage. He's 6 foot. You know, Canelo's less than 5'9".
Here's the thing. Munguia is not known for his jab.
No.
He has a decent jab.
He does have good in and out, though, and the length will help for that. But Canelo's really good at fighting taller fighters. He's made his bones on fighting taller fighters.
That's why stats on that.
That's why that point that person just made about Triple G, height is important.
Right, absolutely. The thing with Bivol, why Bivol was able to give Canelo so many issues because he jabbed and he was in and out. I just don't think Munguia has that in and out jab. Two things that give Canelo issues.
The jab, three things, in and out,
and the power.
Power?
Or just having, like, Golovkin had power. He got his attention.
Yeah but the reason Golovkin gave him some trouble is the jab. So the three things that
number
give...
Number one is the jab.
The three things that give Canelo trouble are a jab, a good jabber, a guy with good defense. He had trouble with Lara. He had trouble with Trout. A guy with a jab. Floyd Mayweather, to a point, Sergey Kovalev, and Triple G. Triple G is one of the best jabs in boxing. And then lastly is activity. Guys throw a lot of punches. So those are the guys that give him trouble.
That's what I wanted to say. You're right. Not power. It's activity. It's the jab number one, and it's activity. Golovkin threw 70 punches a round.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like Munguia, we talked about this. Munguia throws 60, 65, but will he do that against one of the better counterpunchers? That's a big question of this
fight. I think it's his only shot. I think he has to. If Canelo's able to slow the pace, it's a Canelo route. But if Munguia can set a pace that Canelo is you know, fighting uphill the whole time, you know, that second half of that fight's going to look really interesting.
Yep, that's what I think. Second half's going to be really, I think it's going to come out a little tentative, Munguia. Canelo always comes out slow.
Well, the Roach camp has been saying that they're going to try and keep it a little even paced until the second half. I think that's a mind game, actually.
They actually came out and said that?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think because they're saying that the second half of the fight is when it's really going to open up for Munguia. I think that was a bit of a bait and switch.
Oh,
I think Munguia is going to come out on fire. I think he's going to come out on fire.
Imagine Munguia comes out just throwing bombs.
Yeah, I think honestly, I don't think he should let it slow down in the beginning. If he goes slow in the beginning, he's going to lose every round. He's really going to have to step it up on the second half and stop a guy who has the best chin in boxing. So
user 2427, how many big booty Latinas are there? Quite a few.
Numerous.
A few. Inside boxing, David Benavidez ducking David Morrell. Okay. Dan and Chris, Canelo says Benavidez hydrates to 25 pounds. But if Benavidez were to fight Canelo for all the titles, doesn't that mean Benavidez and Canelo can't hydrate more than 10 pounds per IBF rules?
That's the morning.
A question I always have asked. That's in the morning.
It's in the morning. It's one of the stupidest rules in boxing because it's an absolute number. Why would it not be a percentage based on body weight? So a 116-pounder can gain 10 pounds and a 175-pounder has to maintain a 10-pound weight. It's silly. It should be a percentage based on the weight.
As long as per IBF, you can say it's 168. So in the morning, at what time?
Usually it's like 6, 7 a.m.
7 a.m. you can be 178.
178.
And then you can gain as much as you want from 10 a.m. Yep. till fight night.
Yep.
Or first bell. Okay. Dan, the mighty MILF magnet. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to deny that at all. I'm not going to confirm it either.
Better than Old Man Dan, right? It's in the same vein, though.
Old Man Dan, yeah. I kind of
retired
that.
You're not an old man anymore. Not here. You're like a young guy here.
Yeah.
You're an old man at John Boy.
Old man at John Boy, but among the boxing media, I'm still looked at as like the young guy on the block.
Guys, you know he's younger than me, right? Like, you guys, everybody called you Old Man Dan. I'm like, I'm right here.
Take a stab at how old I am. My birthday is coming up. I think we're actually going to be celebrating my birthday with the Tank Benavidez doubleheader.
That's a badass way to celebrate.
June 19th is my birthday. That fight is June 15th. Yeah, I don't want to give up talk about too much because we are going to go live again tomorrow after the weigh-in. That's our plan, is to go live tomorrow after the weigh-in. Apparently, we're talking to Canelo.
That's awesome.
One-on-one with Canelo. We have some fire content coming your way. So make sure to follow Inside Boxing Live.
And tell people.
On Instagram.
Spread it.
On YouTube. Subscribe to the page. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. What else can I shill here? Fight predictions. We're going to do our fight predictions tomorrow.
Yeah, still a lot of time left, guys. A lot of
we're going content. Live tomorrow as well. We're going to be live right after the weigh-in tomorrow. Today, we wanted to hop on. We wanted to talk Ryan Garcia. We wanted to talk Canelo. We wanted to just bring you the vibe here on Thursday because it is lively in here. Should we get Claudia over here?
Claudia.
Should we bring her over? I kind of want to eat that food.
Yeah, we should eat some food. Guys, we're hungry.
Yeah, let's get out of here. We're back tomorrow for a much longer stream. We'll have a lot more answers. There'll be a lot more buzz. Still heating up in here.
Longer and stronger stream tomorrow.
Stronger stream.
Very strong stream. That's what we do here at PPV.com.
For Mitch Pedro, I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri. Thank you, PPV.com, for sending us out here. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs, unless you got a party for us tonight.
Feel the rush. Live thoroughbred racing is happening now at Laurel Park, the Players Track. Every Friday through Sunday, the gates open at 11 a.m. and the action starts at noon. Free admission, fast-paced racing, and real wagering excitement from start to finish. Pick your horses, place your bets, chase the win. From live racing and simulcast action to great food, special events, and nonstop sports viewing, Laurel Park is where the action lives. Come, win, play. Visit laurelpark.com.